Please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll be looking at the beginning of the chapter. This morning, as we consider the real Christmas spirit, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christmas, the birth of your Son, and the privilege it is to remember each year that occasion. Lord, help us to understand what we are to be thinking about this and feeling about this, because in the world there's such a misunderstanding. So guide our thoughts and help us to know if there is such a thing as the Christmas spirit. And I ask for your help in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read my introduction. It's a little bit long, but it goes to the subject of the title of our message, The Spirit of Christmas. Dan Schaefer wrote an article titled In Search of the Christmas Spirit. And he says in this article, last Christmas I came across an article in a local newspaper by an articulate columnist, Bill Johnson. His column was entitled A Lesson in Catching the Christmas Spirit. Johnson began his search for the Christmas spirit at the Christmas tree lots, which he believes, by their nature, are hotbeds of Christmas spirit. Nobody goes there if they don't have it. So I went to one, he says, hoping that some would rub off. But the only people he found there were mortgage bankers trying to find trees for their offices. On the way to the local mall, Bill ran into a family dressed festively and figured they must have the Christmas spirit. Upon questioning the mother, she said, "Let's see. Yesterday we put up the tree, we put lights on the house, and played all our Christmas CDs. I'd say we have the Christmas spirit." Unsatisfied, Bill headed for the mall, reasoning, "If I can't find the Christmas spirit there, I won't find it anywhere." He saw all the children and thought, this is what Christmas is all about. Still, something didn't feel right. On a lark, he asked an employee of the mall, "Where might I find the Christmas spirit?" "It's in your heart," she said, barely glancing up. "It feels warm and glowy, like a mother's love for her child. You can't buy it in any store here, and you can't get it from anybody else. It's in here," she said, pointing to Bill's chest. "It's in your heart." The mall worker had the popular answer to the question, what is the Christmas spirit? "It's inside of us somehow, in some way," most people reason. "We just have to find it." But when does the Christmas spirit hit? Is it when we unpack our decorations and start playing music? How many decorations do you need before you officially have the Christmas spirit? Does it take a Christmas tree, one strand of lights, two, three? By the way, I heard somebody had 20. How many times do I need to watch A Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life before I enter into the Christmas spirit? At this time of year, we seek to outshine and outdazzle our neighbor with our Christmas spirit. More lights, more ornaments, a bigger tree, brightly colored presents, and more of them. Flashing lights and moving figurines. The more decorations, the greater our Christmas spirit. So goes the conventional wisdom. That puzzling Christmas spirit. What is it? How do we get it? And what do we do with it after we have it? Do you think it makes sense if we would look to Jesus to find the Christmas spirit? In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 5, it says there was a mind in Jesus when he came to earth. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. A mind, his thoughts, he had a thought process. He had this thought process when he became a man. For it says in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. This is what we observe at Christmas, correct? When he did these four things. The eternal Son of God, who was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and he did four things. Number one, he made himself of no reputation. He did not come to earth claiming any special treatment, simply because of who he was. He did not use his reputation as the Son of God to get special attention. Look at the way he came. No room in the inn. Laid in a manger. Number two, he took the form of a servant. Interestingly, this is not the word deacon. He didn't present himself as a ministering servant, a deacon. This is the word doulos, a bond slave. Jesus bound himself to the mission God the Father had given to him. He was enslaved to it, we might say. He had to do it. Number three, he was made in the likeness of men. This is an interesting word. Back in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3, when it tells us about Adam having a son, it says, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Over in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, we have explained to us that Jesus did not take on him the nature of angels. Rather, he took on the nature of man. When it says here in this verse that he was made in the likeness of man, it's talking about the substance of his humanity. So when we contemplate the nativity and we look at the newborn baby in the manger, we're reflecting upon a real human being. But number four, he was found in fashion as a man. This word fashion refers to his behavior. Likeness is just like the other one. Fashion, he behaves like the other one. So being in the likeness of man, it addresses his substance of his body, but it being in fashion as a man, it addresses how he acted as a person. So in Christ's birth, he would have behaved just like any other newborn baby. Do you think he ever sneezed? Got the hiccups? Do babies get the hiccups? Yeah. Do they yawn? Do they need to be burped? Fed? Do you think he cried, indicating he was hungry? I mean, how else would he communicate at that age, right? He was human, after all, and found in fashion as a man. And as he grew, his behavior would have been very human. And when called upon to finish his mission, it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 that he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. According to verse 5, this is the mind that is supposed to be in us. We are all human, after all, are we not? Is there not a great deal of similarity between us? There might be some differences in appearance, like hair color or skin color. We might be different heights. We might have different shoe sizes. But we all have two eyes, two ears, one nose, one mouth. We all have two arms, two hands, two legs, two feet. Oh, I know occasionally there is a child born that is formed a little bit differently, but we all have a heart that pumps blood through our bodies. We all share many similar behaviors. We breathe, we eat, we laugh, we cry, we yawn, we get the hiccups. We are all human. And so none of us should expect to be treated special just because of who we are. We all should commit ourselves to God's purpose for our lives. And we all should humble ourselves and obey all of God's commandments. By the way, notice here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Just like Jesus, who humbled himself, who lowered himself, considering the welfare of others a higher priority than maintaining his own reputation. It says in verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." Do you know what? When it says in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you," it's actually referring to verses 3 and 4. Here's your mind. Let nothing be done through vain strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let this mind be in you, which, by the way, was also in Jesus. Because he humbled himself and lowered himself, considering the welfare of others a higher priority than maintaining his own reputation. Could we say possibly that this is the Christmas spirit? Setting aside those things which benefit myself and taking on those things which benefit others. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Consider Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. After the angel had said everything to her, explained everything to her, she had one simple thing to say. Just one simple thing to say. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Do you know what? If you look up that word handmaid and find Strong's number connected to it, you will find exactly the same number as when Jesus took the form of a servant. She made herself the bondslave of God and bound herself to the mission God had given her. Wow. She had a family. She had a fiancé. Or is it fiance? Which way did it go? She had loved ones. And her plans for her life revolved around her family and loved ones. But Mary knew that by binding herself to this commission from God, it would affect the lives of all of those other people. But she humbled herself. And she lowered herself. And she considered the will of God for her life a higher priority than pursuing her own interests. And for her, that was the Christmas spirit. Matthew chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. Again, the angel comes to Joseph and explains to him all about the situation, and it didn't take much to convince Joseph. He is immediately agreeable to everything the angel says. And in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 1, it says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son." Joseph had a reputation. 30 years later, he would still be known as the carpenter when Jesus began his ministry. They recognized Jesus as the son of the carpenter. He had a reputation. He had customers. He needed to maintain a livelihood. But upon being called upon to this commission, he humbled himself. He lowered himself, considering the will of God for his life a higher priority than pursuing his own interests. And he married Mary and did not touch her as to protect the integrity of what she was doing in carrying the Christ child. And with such sacrifice for Joseph, that was the Christmas spirit. And then Matthew chapter 2, the wise men. Oh, in verse 2, they said, "We've seen his star." And so in verse 7, Herod inquires, "Well, how long ago was it that you saw that star?" And they told him it was about 2 years ago. And remember, in verse 16 of chapter 2, according to the time that the wise men told him, Herod had children killed in Bethlehem. But they knew it was the star of the Messiah. Do you know they were 1,000 miles away from Bethlehem? Wonder if they used Delta to fly over there. No. They used camels. It could have taken them 2 months to travel 1,000 miles to see a little 2-year-old boy. These were important men. They had high government positions. They were wealthy and influential. But they considered making this long journey more important than all of that. And when they found the child, now 2 years old, these wise men, these important men, these powerful men, these wealthy and influential men, if you can imagine, bowed down to a 2-year-old little boy. What did it take for them to do that? They humbled themselves. They lowered themselves. and they considered worshiping the child king a higher priority than pursuing their own interests. And for them, that was their Christmas spirit. Mary, Joseph, wise men, they all had the same mind. The mind that was in Christ when he became a man. This is why they were such a good match for participating in Christ's coming to the earth. They were all willing to set aside their own reputation and the ultimate benefit that it might bring to themselves for the ultimate benefit that they could provide for this child who would impact the whole world. What is more important to you? What you can do to make sure everybody looks up to you? Or what you can do to make sure everybody looks to Jesus? This is the real Christmas spirit, to humble ourselves and lower ourselves, because that's what Jesus did. And to make whatever sacrifice God calls upon us to make, to bind ourselves to his will for our lives, so that our lives will not be focused on ourselves, but on others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the testimony of Mary and Joseph and the wise men. Thank you for the mind that was in Jesus, the mind that he brought with him when he came to this earth, the mind that he lived by all the time he was here, and in his ultimate sacrifice for us. Grant that we might be humble and care about others. Not just saying so, but really care about others. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.